we left off yesterday, we introduced the Shita of Rabbeinu Yoel, as quoted by the Ozer Ruah. It was a tremendous Chiddush in HaSugya of Kosev, that the only time there's Kosev Deraisa is only either in Kosev Ksavashuris, Kosev writing Hebrew characters, or writing in Greek for some strange reason. Whereas most of the Rishonim held that the whole thing is not true, that Kosev Deraisa applies to all languages. So we said there are a few Makoros that seem to indicate to one direction or another. So the most powerful proof against Rabbeinu Yoel was our Mishnah Matzach Shabbos. We started off the Sugya in Daf Kof Gimel, where the Mishnah speaks about a Kosev B'Choloshon. So of course Rabbeinu Yoel is going to have to do a lot of explaining in terms of that. How could he say that other languages is Potter? The Mishnah says almost explicitly that it's Chayev. So that's of course going to be the most serious problem for Rabbeinu Yoel. Then we had two other Makoros that could go either way, which were used as Rabbeinu Yoel as a source for his position. One was the Gemara Maseches Gittin and Daf Ches, where the Gemara spoke about a person who's buying land in Eretz Yisrael from a goy. He can have the goy sign the documents on Shabbos. And the Gemara said that's okay because of Amir Eliyachim. So Ben Yoel said, why would we have permitted that based on Amir Eliyachim? Amir Eliyachim is usually not permissible just some to do any old mitzvah. So it must be that this is a very, very low level kind of Amir Eliyachim, because this is Amir Eliyachim on a Derabbanan. Since the goy anyway is writing it in English or Arabic or whatever language, it's not Hebrew, it's not Greek, and therefore it's on a Derabbanan anyway, so it's a Amir Eliyachim on a Derabbanan, but Malkam Yishim Eretz Yisrael, then it's going to be Mutter. So that was one of Rabbeinu Yoel's big sources, which we pointed out that other Rishonim, such as Tosfos, learned that it's not a proof to anything. That writing in other languages is an Issa Deraisa, and they lifted that Issa Deraisa. Fisha, Eretz Yisrael, why do they do that? So we gave suggestions yesterday. What's so special, what's so unique about the mitzvah of Fisha, Eretz Yisrael? But at the end of the day, most of the Rishonim learned that Gemara, Maseches Gittin, is not a proof to anything. So far we have one proof against Rabbeinu Yoel from the Mishnah of Hakosev B'Choloshon. We had one proof that supported Rabbeinu Yoel, that was the Gemara Maseches Gittin, which again, in the end of the day, proved not to be all that much of a proof. Then the third Makor was the Yerushalmi. When the Yerushalmi had that cryptic line, where the Yerushalmi says, Yechayev and Shabbos for writing a few Aleph Alpha. Yechayev for writing an Aleph and an Alpha. So Rabbeinu Yoel said, out of all the languages in the world, why did the Yerushalmi pick Alpha? We're talking about writing Greek. It's to teach you that you only chayev if you write Greek, you only chayev if you write either Hebrew or if you write Greek. So that raya from the Yerushalmi is also not necessarily an absolutely convincing raya. So the Bir Halacha, we're not going to read the whole Bir Halacha now, but suffice to say it's a page and a half of the Bir Halachas. So the Bir Halacha, in the middle of this whole discussion of the pros and cons of Rabbeinu Yoel Shita, so the Bir Halacha suggests that maybe the Yerushalmi doesn't mean at all what Rabbeinu Yoel meant. If you go back to the third of the Maamar Kamos for a minute, so the Rishami says, Ma b'choloshon fil Aleph Alpha. So Ben Yoel learned that Aleph Alpha was limiting in the sense of that you only chayv if you write in Greek, just as you chayv in Hebrew, you only chayv if you write in Greek. So the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, suggests that, no, maybe the Rishami meant something totally different. Maybe the Rishami meant that from before Shabbos, the word Aleph was already written. Aleph Lamed Fei was already written. And now, on Shabbos, you added an Aleph to the end of that word. You made the word Aleph into the word Alpha. Or the next line of Rishami was, if Beis Beta, I guess that line got cut off. So Beis Beta, that means it said Beis Yotav, and you added on Aleph. So the Chiddush in Rishami is that you're Chayev. What's the Chiddush? I would have thought you didn't really do anything. I mean, you took an Aleph, you took the word Aleph, and it already was a word. It already had a certain meaning to it. And now you just added on another Kenech to it. So maybe that's not called Kosev and Shabbos. So Kamash Balan, no. Kamash Balan, that in Greek, it made a big difference. The word Aleph Lamed Pei is a meaningless word in Greek. It's a meaningful word in Lashon HaKodesh, but it's a meaningless word in Greek. So from the fact that you now transformed it, you changed it into something significant, you made it into an important word, you changed it into Alpha now, so then you did do something. So the Rishami, according to the Bir Halacha, is not addressing what language you wrote in. I don't need a Rishami to tell me that Yechayev if you write in Greek. Yechayev if you write in English and Japanese also. What the Rishami is addressing is a very, very small technical detail. Is that considered to be a significant writing? Is that considered to be a constructive writing or not? But in terms of the language that you're writing in, of course Yechayev in all languages. So at the end of the day, we don't have any proof for Rabbeinu Yoel. There's two big proofs. The Gemara and Gittin, so most of the Rishonim rejected. This proof from the Rishonim is not necessarily written in stone either. So the question becomes, real issue that you have to deal with Rabbeinu Yoel is what do you do with that Mishnah? And all the other rayas can go either way, but the Mishnah is pretty conclusive. The Mishnah says that kosei b'choloshin is chayav. What in the world could that mean according to Rabbeinu Yoel? In this long Rabbi Halacha, we're not going to read it inside. In this long Rabbi Halacha, he quotes from the Prima Gondim, was the following interesting idea to try to defend Rabbeinu Yoel. How could Rabbeinu Yoel say what he said, that writing out the languages is potter, and the Mishnah is beferish that's chayav? So comes the Prima Gondim and he says, if you go back to Megill Sesti, you get the answer to this, says the Prima Gondim. The Psukim describe kichsavam v'chil shonam. The Pesukim described that you have different countries, you have different people, different locations, so there are different ksavim and there are different lashonos. What's the difference between a ksav and a lashon? Obvious. Ksav refers to the script. Ksav refers to the shapes of the letters. Those are the ksavim. Lashonam refers to the languages of the words. The two don't necessarily go hand in hand. 99% of the time they do. I mean, say, I write English words in English characters. I write, Japanese words in Japanese characters. I write Hebrew words in Hebrew characters. But not always. Sometimes you could write an English word using Hebrew characters. Let's say if I'd want to write the word, we do it all the time, I was just at a wedding the other night in the Marina Del Rey. So it was in the Bronx. So the Bronx is I don't think Bronx is an English word either, but okay, the Bronx. Bronx is not a Hebrew word, it's not Lashon HaKodesh. How do you write Bronx at a ksuba? Beis, Reish, Aleph, Nun, Kuf, Samach, Bronx. Right, Bronx, New York. So, nu is an English word. How do I write it? Write it nun vavav. I don't write York Hachadash. I write nu, New York. So, I took an English word, an English language, and I superimposed it with Hebrew characters. So, it comes to Prima Gondim and says, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. That's what Rabbeinu Yoel was talking about. It's talking about two different things. One is talking about the language, and one is talking about the characters. So, comes Prima Gondim and says, according to Rabbeinu Yoel, the din is the only time you chayav for writing is if you write with official Torah accepted characters. There are only two ksavim that are sanctioned by the Torah. There are two ksavim that exist in the world of the Torah. One is ksav ashuris. That's the ksav that the Torah is written in. That's when the Torah says, "Uchsavta b'mazuz b'secha v'sharecha." When the Torah says, "Kis v'lachem v'sashirazos," so that's referring to ksav ashuris. So that is the ksav of the Torah. Any other ksav not? And there's one other quirk of a ksav that also snuck in there. That's ksav Yevonis, Greek letters. Where did that come from? Manishtana Greek from all other languages. So that's based on the ksav, I should say correctly. That's based on a Gemara Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara says that according to some opinions, you can actually write a Sefer Torah in Greek. When we say Greek, Rambam writes the old Greek, not the Greek they're using in Athens today. Trying to figure out their economy there. So that's not the Greek that we're talking about. The good old Greek of alpha, betas, and gammas. So comes the Gemara in Megillah and says, if you write a Sefer Torah in Greek, that's okay. Why? Because it says in Parshas Noach, Yaft alakim li Yefes, v'yishkol b'ol Hashem. Noach gives a bracha to his son Yefes. Yefes was the ancestor of Yavon. One of the sons of Yefes was Yavon. So he says, Yaft alakim li Yefes, v'yishkol b'ol Hashem. I'm giving you a big bracha. And you, Yefes, should be found in the tents of shame. Where is that? Where is Greek found in the tents of shame? So the Gemara has an interpretation that means in the Sefer Torah. All the shame refers to the Tovo Alecha Yaakov in the Beis Medrash, in the Beis Knesses. That Greek made its way into the shuls because technically you can write a Sefer Torah in Greek. So that's a quirk. That's exists across them. And the Torah accepts the Ksav Yevani, the old ancient Ksav Yevani, as an acceptable Ksav as well. So just as in Hilchos Sefer Torah, the Torah accepts Ksav. Ksav Ashuri. Torah accepts Ksav Yevani. You see that those are the only two official Ksav that the Torah accepts. If you write in those two scripts, you're considered to be a Kosei B'Shabbos. If you write in any other script, you write in English characters, you write in Arabic characters, you write in Japanese characters, any other characters, I didn't do Kosei. So I scribbled, I doodled. That's not a Ksav. In order to be Chayav, it has to be a Torah accepted script. How do you know what's a Torah accepted script? If it suffices for Sefer Torah, then it suffices for it to be Chayav and Shabbos as well. However, what if I wrote in a Torah-accepted script, but I wrote words that are not from Lashon HaKodesh? I wrote words from English. So says the Prima Gondim, according to the Ezer Ruah. So then, of course, you're going to be Chayav. If I wrote Let's say I wrote in the beginning. So if I write in the beginning, I-N-T-H-E, that's scribbling, that's doodling. That's not a Torah accepted script. But if I write in the beginning, Aleph, Yud, Nun, Duh. I know. Duh. Beginning, Beis, Ayin, Gimel, Yud, Nun, Nun, Nun. I write out the words.
Transliterate.
I write out the words using Torah characters, using Savashuri characters, using Greek characters, even though the words that I'm writing are a different language, much like Yiddish. Yiddish is a different language. It's not Lashon HaKodesh. Some people may tell you it has a Kedusha to it, but that's Lashon HaKodesh is not. So the person writes Yiddish, so they're using Hebrew characters to write, whatever word they're writing Yiddish, right? So comes the Pirkei Avot, according to the Rabbeinu Yoel, and says, that's the difference. That Rabbeinu Yoel is talking about the Ksav, Kichsavam. He's talking about what are the characters. And the Mishnah is talking about Kilshinam. So the Mishnah says, HaKoyz B'Chaloshin Chayev. HaKoyz B'Chaloshin is Chayev. 100%. 1,000%. HaKoyz B'Chaloshin is Chayev. Provided that you use the Hebrew characters. That's the answer that the people of God suggests. Mitochem Rekusha. So in this long, 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 long Bir Halacha, he points out that's a fascinating teretz. Very, very interesting teretz. But it is not the Shita of the Arzaroah and Rabbeinu Yoel. It may be another Shita, maybe it's the Prima Gadim Shita, but this is not what Rabbeinu Yoel and the Arzaroah said. Says the Bir Halacha, how do I know for a fact? Because I looked inside the Arzaroah. Unlike the Prima Gadim who didn't look, can't hold the Prima Gadim responsible for not looking because it didn't exist. The Arzaroah was written, it existed, just it was hidden in some manuscript somewhere. The Arzaroah was Rabbeinu Yitzchak Mivienna. He was the Rav of the Maharam Rutenberg. The Maharam Rutenberg was the Rebbe of the Rush. So you're talking about early 1200s, something like that. So the late 1100s, early 1200s. So the Arzaroah wrote a sefer, and it was hidden. It was in a manuscript form somewhere, and it was sitting in the Vatican. I don't know exactly where it was, somewhere in some tucked away in some library in Europe for hundreds of years. So how did we have access to it? So some Rishonim had access to it. Some Rishonim quoted snips of it. So the Torah quotes pieces of it. Other Rishonim quoted different pieces from the Arzaroah. But it was not in its full form. It wasn't available for hundreds and hundreds of years. So the Prima Gadim, sitting in 1700s in Germany, he didn't have an Arzaroah. He's quoting from Rishonim, who are quoting from the Arzaroah. So he didn't see the whole piece. He knew the basic sheet of the Arzaroah, but he didn't see the whole picture. The Bir Halacha, in the days of the Mishnah Berurah already, 150 years later, the days of the Mishnah Berurah, the Arzaroah had already been reprinted. It had already been taken out of the Geniza, and already been reprinted, and shown that we have today. So every once in a while, you have something like that. We have a Rishon that we had snips of, we had access to a little bit. We didn't have the whole Sefer. So the Prima Gadim is guessing. He's trying to figure out how would the Arzaroah himself solve this problem of a Kaisi B'Chaloshin. So he came up with this fantastic idea. There's a Ksav Luchot, a Loshon Luchot, etc. The only problem is, as the Mishnah Berurah points out correctly, in the Arzaroah himself, he asks the Kasha. He asks the question on himself. You can't avoid the question. It's hard to dodge the question. The Mishnah is explicit. The Mishnah says, the Kaisi B'Chaloshin is Chayev. And the Arzaroah quotes from Rabbeinu Yoel that it's not true. So the Arzaroah asks the question on himself, and unfortunately doesn't give the answer that the Prima Gadim gives. He doesn't differentiate between Ksav and Loshon. It's a nice idea, but it's not what it says in the Rishonim. So what does the Arzaroah answer? That interests us much, much more. What does the Arzaroah answer? So the Arzaroah says, when the Mishnah says, v'chaloshon doesn't mean all Lashonos. It means to include Greek. That's all it means. Hakoyse v'chaloshon means there are other languages that you're chayef for. And he says, that's what the Rishonim says. Ma v'chaloshon afil alf alfa. That's exactly what the Rishonim says. So, we're not as excited about this teretz. We think the Prima Gadim's teretz, it's a lomdasha teretz, it's a brisket teretz, it sounds better to us. Like Ksav is one dinner, Losh is another, the whole razzle-dazzle teretz. But at the end of the day, the Arzaroah himself doesn't give that teretz. The Arzaroah himself says, yeah, Kaisi B'Chaloshin doesn't really mean it. It just means Greek. Don't ask me any kashas. So, at the end of the day, when all the dust settles, Rabbeinu Yoel is still around. Rabbeinu Yoel and the Arzaroah sheet that still exists. If a person writes in other Lashonos, or the Ksav, whatever you want to call it, he's not going to be Chayim. It's not going to be a Deraisa. And the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim disagree. If you want to know what I mean by the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim, so if you take a look at the size of this Bir Halacha, which takes up the next page and a half, so he says that he doesn't believe anybody really, really, truly truly accepts this Rabbeinu Yoel. He quotes one Rishon, another Rishon, two, three Rishonim puts together. But he says, the end of the day, let's take a look at the end of that long, long Bir Halacha. So we're on the next page. The last word line is V'divrei. It's about seven or eight lines from the bottom. very end of the line. V'divrei or zarua, v'gos maim, and he also quotes it, v'chus tefil and shevish erim and yol, das yichidohi, v'nidcheis b'kol hani revusa hanal. It has been rejected based on all of the above. Says the Bi'alocha, nobody holds like this. Nobody in the world holds like this. That's it. Finished. End of discussion. But it's not yet the end of the discussion, because this machlokes between Rabbeinu Yoel and the other Rishonim, whether one is chayev only for Lashon HaKodesh, and whether one is chayev for other ksav, other languages as well, is going to impact on another part of the sugya of Kosev. We're going to have to go back to the beginning, back to the first of the Mamakomos, and now we have to learn a whole different aspect of the sugya of Kosev, but keeping in mind, back of our mind, the machlekes of Yoel and the other Rishonim. So if we go back to the first of the Mamakomos, so the Mishnah starts to list off all the different cases that you chayev for. Page 1, and the first of the Kamas, HaKosesh Deyosius, the person who writes two letters is chayev. Beim Yamino, Beim Bismolo. Whether you write with your right hand, you chayev. Whether you write with your left hand, you chayev. We already pointed out yesterday that that statement is a little bit misleading. It almost sounds like, literally, if you write with your left hand, you chayev, the Gemara says that's impossible, because that's Shelo Kederach. That's an abnormal way of writing. So the Gemara is going to tone that down. I can explain that a little bit, hopefully, next week. So we're not going to focus on that. Beim Yishemecha, Beim Yishemos. It doesn't matter whether you write the same letter multiple times, whether you write multiple letters. All these things are going to be chayev. Bein mishtei simanios, we didn't explain that yet. Bechal lashon chayev. That's pretty much the part. That's where we left it. So the Mishnah uses also a very vague phrase. Bein mishtei simanios. If you write two simanios, you're going to be chayev as well. And the question is, what in the world does that word mean? What does the phrase mean? Bein mishtei simanios. I know what a lashon is. I know what a ksav is. I know what a right hand is. I know what a left hand is. But I have no idea what mishtei simanios are. So Rashi, on the spot, explains that Shtei Samanios refers to the phrase, it's related really to the phrase we use, of Samamonim. Samamonim means herbs, which can sometimes are used in the process of preparing dio. Different kinds of inks called Samanim. So comes Rashi and says, what Shtei Samanios means is that I wrote one letter in black ink and one letter in red ink. So I guess one would have possibly thought, that's not writing. It's not connected. The two letters are too separate from one another. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. It doesn't matter what color ink you write in, you're going to be chayev. So that's Rashi's pshat in the word samanios. So the Rambam has an entirely different pshat of samanios. If you take a look now, we skip ahead to the seventh of the Rambam Kamos. So the Perish of Mishnayis and Rambam on that Mishnah, Perkid Bey's Mishnah Gimel, some Simeonos, the Rambam's Gersa was, Simonim. It's not from a Lashon of Sam, not from a Lashon of color of ink, but rather from the word Simon. Simon means a symbol. Kederach Shekosim Bnei Adam, Aleph Simon Le'echad, Ubei Simon Le'shnayim. So says the Rambam, it refers to what we call numerals. It refers to not to letters. It means not only are you chayev for writing two letters, but you're chayev for writing two numerals as well. So if you write the number 13, so I wrote a 1 and I wrote a 3, and I'm going to be chayev. So the Rambam says that's what the word simanios means. What is the nekudas of machlokes in Rashi? The Rambam, why is it that the Rambam veered from Rashi's pshat? What did the Rambam gain by his pshat in writing numerals? So the Rashba explains that Rashi's pshat is a very, very difficult pshat, because the Rashba points out that the context of the Mishnah is talking about not colors of ink. The Mishnah is talking about what types of things are being written. The Mishnah is talking about Shemecha versus Shtei Shemos. It's two A's versus an A and a B. Or B'choloshen, it's talking about Hebrew versus English versus Greek versus Arabic, etc. The theme of the Mishnah is talking about the characters that are ending up on the page. So the Mishnah is talking about, doesn't matter whether the characters are characters of an A and a B. It doesn't matter whether it's an alpha and a base. It doesn't matter whether it's a character that's written in Hebrew or in English. So in the middle, right smack, in the middle of that discussion, the Mishnah talks about Bein Mishnei Simanios. So that, says the Rashba, that sounds much closer to the Rambam's version, that the Mishnah is telling me that even if the characters are not letters altogether, they're numerals. So a numeral is not a letter. You don't write a word out of a letter 1 and 3. 1 and 3 conjures up an image of a number. You can't write a word with that. So comes the Rashba and says, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that you chayev for any kinds of characters that you use, whether the characters are letters, the characters are numerals, etc. According to Rashi, This phrase, Be'er Mishtei Simanias, doesn't belong in this Mishnah. It belongs in another Mishnah, where the Mishnah of Masechet Shabbos talks about different types of inks. The Mishnah talks about, what if you write in something that doesn't last very long? What if you write what's called the Ksav Shel Chayama versus Ksav Shel Shel Chayama? What if you write in fruit juice? What if you write in green ink? What if you write in red ink? There's another Mishnah, totally separate Mishnah of Masechet Shabbos, that talks about all of those topics, about the type of ink. This Mishnah is not talking about the type of ink. This Mishnah is talking about the type of characters that you're writing in the ink. So says the Rashba, Dover Lovim Inyano, just from the context, just from the text of the Mishnah, it sounds much closer to the Rambam's Pshat than it does to Rashi's Pshat. So I'll call upon him, Rashi had his Pshat, Rambam had his Pshat, as to what the Shtei Simanios are. But this discussion about Shtei Simanios now becomes relevant for going back to our discussion about Rabbi Yoel and the other Rishonim, where the writing in other languages is Chayev. The notion of writing numerals, the notion of writing a 1, and writing a 3, and writing a 5, and writing an 8, it's very hard to call those Lashon HaKodesh. It's very hard to say those are Hebrew characters. Those are not Hebrew characters. The numerals that we use happen to be Arabic numerals, but the Mishnah wasn't talking about that. The Mishnah was written before the Arabs wrote the numeral. It's talking about Roman numerals. It was talking about numerals that were being used. There were symbols that were created by Goyim, by non-Jewish writers, to symbolize number X, Y, and Z. If you hold like Rabbi Yoel, the only chaya for Lashon HaKodesh, that the Torah doesn't recognize other ksavim, so the Torah doesn't recognize ABC, how can the Torah recognize 1, 2, 3? It means if you're going to tell me that the only time something is called kosev and Shabbos, if it's a type of a kosev that is accepted by the Torah for the purposes of writing a Sefer Torah, so only very, very unique ksavim are sanctioned by the Torah, are accepted by the Torah as being an official ksav. So a numeral is a goyish invention. It's not going to be any better than ABC. So obviously, according to Rabbi Yoel, there's no way he could have read the Mishnah like the Rambam. There's no way the Mishnah could say Hakosav B'Shtei Simanios is Chayev. Rabbi Yoel was forced to learn, like Rashi, that Hakosav B'Shtei Simanios is referring not to the characters, but rather to the color of the ink. So now we already see we have two different machloksim, two different shahs that come from the Mishnah. Machlokes are Rabbi Yoel and everybody else about English, Arabic, Japanese letters, etc. Yichayev and not. And machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, what does the word Shtei Simanios mean? And now we see there's somewhat of a connection between the two. So let's go back now to this Mishnah that, again, to Be'er Mishtei Simanios, because this is now impacting on our question about other languages and other ksavim. And try to understand, it's hard for us to be machriya, who's right, Rashi and the Rambam, we get a little bit of a better understanding, what is the emissive shot, what is the correct shot in these words of the Mishnah, Be'er Mishtei Simanios. So if we go back to the third of the Mamakamos, I feel like we're learning backwards, every Mamakamos we're going backwards, but going back to the third of the Mamakamos again, back to that Yerushalmi, because a lot was in that Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi, the third of the Mamakamos, asks the question, Man Tana Simanios, who is the author of the Mishnah about Simanios? The Rishami makes it sound like that statement of the Mishnah, whatever it means. We don't know whether the Mishnah is talking about colored inks, or the Mishnah is talking about Roman numerals, but the Mishnah is talking about some kind of a Chiddush. So the Gemara says in the Rishami, who is the author of that Mishnah? Makes it sound immediately, not everyone agrees to that Mishnah. So the Gemara says the author of that Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yossi speaking, who is the author of that Mishnah. Who is Rabbi Yossi? Where is Rabbi Yossi? Where did he come from? So you have to go back to the first Mishnah, back to the first of the Mamakamos again. So let's go back to the first of the Mamakamos. So we started with reading the Mishnah, Kosher Shtei Yossius, maybe Mina Be'er Mismola, maybe Shem Echa B'Shem Shtemos, maybe Shem Sodom, Chayev, Omer Rabbi Yossi. The second line in the Mishnah, in the first of the Mamakamos, Lo Chivu Shtei Yossius Ela Mishim Roshem, Shekak Kosvin Al Korshe HaMishkon, Leida Eizo Ben Zugo. Rabbi Yossi gives us a whole new approach to the Malach of writing on Shabbos. We've been talking about writing already for the last 2 days, but we really should have mentioned this at first. Namely, where did writing come from? Where did they write in the Mishkan? Every malach that we have, each one of the Lamatas malachs was done in the Mishkan. Who was writing in the Mishkan? So the Mishnah tells us they used to write in the Mishkan when they used to have to keep track of when they would take the Mishkan apart and put it back together again. They wanted to make sure that they had the boards lined up properly. It would be very, very klutzy to start putting together the Mishkan and realize they put it wrong. So they would make a little mark on each of the boards of the Mishkan. Anyone built a sukkah out of wooden panels, so the fiberglass panels. So you make a little mark. So I remember that one of the early years when we built our sukkah, when the person was usually around, he used to usually help us, wasn't around, so it was me, and I was in charge of building the sukkah. So I built the sukkah perfectly upside down. It didn't make that much of a difference until my wife pointed out that that all the tefillin decorations was upside down. So all the she couldn't understand why I couldn't figure out that we had still had the tape on from the year before. Couldn't figure out that it wasn't knee level, the decorations. But that was my but anyway. So you have to mark. You have to figure out where how to build things. So the days of Mishkan, that same problem. So they had to keep tabs literally of where each board was. They would write letters on the boards of the Mishkan. So there was a machlokes at Tanoim between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon. What they used to write? How did they keep track of which boards were where in the Mishkan? So the other Tanoim, the Chacham, seemed to say the Mamash wrote letters. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, whatever, they wrote letters. And Rabbi Yossi says, nah, they didn't write letters. They just made marks. They made a little mark, a little shemesh, a little scratch or something. So that was enough for them to keep track. So Rabbi Yossi has a phrase, Lo chivush de Yossi salam shem reishem. So Rabbi Yossi says, in order to be chayv and Shabbos, you don't have to write an official letter. As long as you write a reshima, you write a mark, you write any symbol, anything that indicates that to remind you to do something, so you write a little shmitch on a piece of paper, that's also considered to be chayv and Shabbos. So Rabbi Yossi has a big chiddush, a big chumra in Hilchos Shabbos, that hakosev b'Shabbos is lav dafka kosev shtei oisias, hakosev b'shimas b'yam is also good enough. So comes the Rishalmi now and connects this Mishnah about Simanios to Rabbi Yossi Shita. So the Rishalmi says in the third of Mamakamas, Mantana Simanios. Who is the author of the Mishnah that says Yechaya for writing Simanios? It's Rabbi Yossi. What is the connection between Rabbi Yossi and the Simanios? So according to the Rambam, it makes perfect sense. According to the Rambam, what are the Simanios of the Mishnah? They're numerals. What the Rishalmi is saying, a numeral is not a letter. It's not a letter, it's a letter. When you write a word, you use a letter. When you want to express a number, use a numeral. So why are you chayav for writing numerals? Why are you chayav for writing numbers? Why are you chayav for writing simanim for? That's not considered to be kosher shtei oisias. That's exactly what Yerushalmi says. You're right. According to the Chacham, who say that the malach of kosev has to be expressed in osios, hakosher shtei osios is chayav b'Shabbos. If you write numbers, you take a potter. A number is not a letter. But according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that lo chivush de'osi selam mishim roshem, you don't have to write a letter. You just have to write anything that represents a thought, represents an idea. So you make a shmitchik, you make a mark, you make a scratch on a board. That's also considered to be an act of quote-unquote kosev. If that's kosev, so I write the number 9. That's kosev also. That expresses an idea. I know when I write 9, I know that I have 9 eggs here. So that's expressed as an idea. That's enough. There is no dinuk sivus osius. So what the Rishalmi and the Mishnah put together is a whole major machlokes atanoim. What is the malacha of kosev? Is kosev a malacha in terms of osius? It has to be an official words, with languages, with letters that create words. That's the malach of kosev. That's the Chachamim's view. You have to be kosev shtei osius to be chayav in Shabbos. Or Rabbi Yossi had a different model of the malacha. Rabbi Yossi says, you took something, you made a little mark, a little shmitchik on a piece of paper on a background, and that expresses some kind of an idea. Whether the idea is going to be a word that's going to be read, whether the idea is going to be a number representing a certain amount of something, whether it's a scratch to remind you where to put the Mishkan board, it doesn't matter. Any quote-unquote writing of any nature whatsoever, even not necessarily letters, is also chayev. So the Rishalmi put together Rabbi Yossi sheet about roshem, about making scratches, together with the Mishnah about simonias. But according to Rashi, this Rishalmi doesn't read. According to Rashi, what does simonias mean? Simonias means the colors of ink. So the Rishalmi says, man tana simonias, who is the Tano says you can write one letter in green and one letter in purple and be chayev? That's Rabbi Yossi who says roshem is chayev. Does that mean anything? Rabbi Yossi is talking about whether you have to write letters versus scratches, and the Rishalmi is connecting that to two different color inks. In Shemitah Etzel Arsinai. So we have a lot of problems. So this Rashi is very, very difficult. Hopefully, it's from next week. We have to come back to this Rashi. But why is this Rashi and Rambam so important for us? Because ultimately, in this Rashi and Rambam, lies the Machlokes of Rabbeinu Yoel and the other Rishonim. Because according to Rabbeinu Yoel, he's forced to learn Rashi's Pshat. So if we just got finished saying that Rashi's Pshat is so difficult, so we don't want Rabbeinu Yoel to be completely rejected. In the end, we're not going to accept him in the halacha. But we want him at least to be able to read smoothly into the Rishonim. Hopefully, it's from next week. We have to come back to this Rishonim, come back to this Rashi, come back to Rabbeinu Yoel, and try to figure out what's going on in terms of the coastal basin. Okay.